This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Former mayor of Decatur and publisher of the Decatur Tribune and a frequent target of bad drivers in the studios with us here today, as always on Thursdays. Good to see you, Paul. You know, are you a bad traffic magnet?
I don't know. Maybe they don't like what I write in the paper. I don't know. But I just, you know, on bicycles, skateboards, and everything else, they just... I've honestly never seen such crazy, reckless driving as I've seen in the last, probably the last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the pandemic, that light will turn red and there will be, you know, four or five cars just go right on through on red.
You know, I think that bad driving is like an epidemic. I mean, it seems to be getting worse. You see more of it than I do, but you do a lot of walking, right? I mean, you're out and about around in downtown.
Yeah. Walk to the post office and walk to the places I want to, but everywhere that I go and, you know, that we cover, I can walk to.
Yeah.
From my office. And, that's the advantage of being located where we are.
So what are you hearing back? I know you get feedback from readers, but they see the same thing going on out there.
Yeah, bad driving. Yeah, they do. And they even point out areas, you know, where they travel, where they see it. One lady wrote a letter that I put in my columns talking about an area that she sees every day where people just like are racing and driving recklessly. And it's just the... And maybe we're noticing conduct like that more because of a general attitude that we feel and we sense in the community. But, you know, it seems
well,
like,
if you got a lot of people that are angry, I would assume there's a lot of angry driving going on, right? I mean, all of it translates across the board.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that he had two skateboarders, and I think that's one I mentioned, you know, right out here on this intersection, a block from where we are.
Right in front of the post office.
Yeah, and the lighted chains, you know, had turned green, all these cars were hitting, and these skateboarders just shoot right through the intersection. And just, you know, I'm not smart on traffic control or anything, but if you're on a skateboard, you get hit by a car.
You're losing that.
Yeah, you're losing that. And then after they got through... And the warning was there. A guy on a bicycle tries to do the same thing, you know.
And the same red light.
Yeah, the same red light. And like I say, it's been probably 10 seconds since the light had changed. And then he had to screech to a halt and turn sideways to avoid getting hit by cars.
It is in my nature to be an annoyed driver. I mean, it's just there's no doubt about it. I pulled in to get gas yesterday at a gas station here in town and filled up my tank. Man, it was an expensive, gas is high right now. But when I got done, you know, I got my receipt off the machine and I got in, I put my seatbelt on and there was an older guy who was getting gas like at a pump, like way off to the left of me. He was the mask wearing guy that wears it around his chin, you know, which I've never like understood at the beginning of this. And then he starts wandering over into where my car is, looking at something in the sky. And I look up to see, you know, is there a plane coming down? And as I get ready to pull out, and I'm not in Nick's Tesla, there's engine noise. It's a Cadillac. And I'm trying to pull out, and he just keeps walking in front of my car with his back to me. I mean, you know, in the parking lot of a gas station, doing this. And so finally, I mean, I felt bad. I honked my horn. And his reaction was so weird. It was like he just turned and sort of looked and then sidestepped about 6 inches. And I thought, are you impervious? I mean, you know, you're 75 years old. You're not going to win this encounter with a car.
Well, maybe he's looking up. He thought his time was up.
Maybe he was having a premonition. I don't know. But I just, it was the weird. This behavior, like I'm just in kind of a haze. And I don't know if situationally we're aware of our surroundings the way they we used to be. Yeah. I see a lot of that.
Yeah.
People just drifting through lights and walking through stuff and like just basic traffic laws.
Yeah, I guess that's what really, surprises me because used to have kind of reckless drivers and that and those that would speed, you know, and pass everybody, and then you met them at the next stoplight. You know, I tell you, it gives me a thrill to pull up next to them, you know, after they have, like, been going 20 miles faster than I have. And then I meet him down, you know, where they have to stop.
See, I'm probably the guy that's next to you, and I'm annoyed that you just caught up with me because I'm realizing it really didn't save me any time at all.
Yeah, yeah. And usually, you know, they like gunning their engines when they go by, you know. And I putt up to the stoplight right next to him. It's almost like you just want to wave at him so bad and say, hi there.
That's funny. That is funny. All right, let's talk a little bit about what your thoughts are. We haven't had a lot of primaries in countywide offices for quite some time, it seems to me. I'm sure there's been one or two, but it used to be sort of a thing. I mean, that was just kind of the way it worked. But Cody Moore, longtime Decatur Police Department employee, throwing his hat in the ring for the Macon County Sheriff's race against Jim Root, you know, our current sheriff, who was at first telling people he wasn't going to run again and now is saying he is going to run again. What do you make of all this?
I don't know. It's Cody, as you mentioned, been around for a long time, knows a lot of people, has good name recognition. I had no inkling, you know, that he was thinking about running for sheriff, but I think he probably has a lot of support out there from people who've known him. And when you're in the community that long and you've been in the position, have the experience in the police department, you know, you do have some background that qualifies you, I think, in an exceptional way to run for an office like that. We did have a primary for the Republican nomination for sheriff, you know, 4 years ago. I think Jim Root had to beat out somebody. Remember that?
Yeah, Jonathan Butts, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, so it's but I just.
But that was an office that was up for grabs, and there wasn't.
He had a retiring sheriff. Yeah.
Cody's says his priorities increase interagency training and cooperation. Here's the interesting one: improve upon and increase positive interactions between the Macon County Sheriff's Office deputies and young people in our community. Fully staff the corrections division. Manage the sheriff's office with transparency. That's always a jab, right? Because that's alleging that it's not, man.
Yeah.
Bring a management style to the Macon County Sheriff's Office that builds trust with both the public and the department. One senses that, you know, because of the drawn out, you know, election and Tony Brown being put in and then Jim Root and all the legal battles and all the divisions, that the department itself is a divided department.
Well, yeah, and I think you kind of read that into that in some of those points that you just made that were in you know, his news release and in announcing that he was running, that you know, the department was divided because of the last election.
Going into that election, let alone having, you know, 2.5 years of legal battles continue that.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think that sensitivity in that division is still there. People are still sensitive about this. And, you know, if anything, I would think Cody would probably get some pretty strong support.
I would think so. Born in Decatur, graduated from Mauquoa High School, graduated from Millikan University, graduate of the FBI National Academy, has a ton of experience. Listen, I think the guy's great. I mean, I've known him for a long time, and I'm a big fan. I wonder, though, just out of curiosity, have you heard from Sheriff Root since he's been in office?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. And I don't know that that's
bad necessarily.
No, yeah. but I think a large part of that office is the public relations. It is building relationships with the community. It is, you know, yeah, there's a whole lot of other stuff, but that's always been a pretty public position.
Yeah, you're right, and I think we've had you know, some individuals that have handled that a lot better than others. Some feel that, you know, if they're doing their job, they're doing their job, and there are others felt that the outreach is about the sheriff himself or herself, should there be a woman elected in the future to that position, of being in the community, of where people can talk to them, of associating with the various members of the community, the whole community, going into to neighborhoods and neighborhood marches. I remember when I was mayor, we used to go to the neighborhoods and meet people and kind of walk with them, and we had representatives there from the sheriff and the police department.
It's building up goodwill. It's not fluff. It's actually part of the job. If you don't do any of that relationship building, and there is a tragic incident where someone loses their life, there's a deputy-related, you know, shooting, you can't make that up at midnight on a Wednesday night.
No, and I think part of what you look for in a sheriff or a police chief or those that are leaders among us are those that are sensitive to the needs of the people. And not only that, Those people believe you're sensitive to their needs. When you suffer a loss, they believe, and rightly so, that you're concerned about them. You're concerned about their family. You're concerned about what happened to them. And I think the sheriff's office, the sheriff, is someone that needs to be public in that way. It's not like you're glorifying yourself. You're showing that you can be touched by the...
You're the face of that office. I mean,
exactly, yeah.
And I don't have anything against Jim. I mean, but he's just, that's not his thing.
Well, different personalities have been in there. We've had some sheriffs in the past, I think, that have been very good about reaching out and being a part of the community and being part of events.
Tom Schneider.
Yeah.
Jerry Dawson.
Yeah, and... So I think it's probably your management style, and that's probably to a certain extent what Cody was alluding to too. His management style, I believe, he intends for it to be different than what it is now, and maybe more in uniting the department than it is now.
And maybe it takes somebody from the outside to do that, because I think the inside just as they drew their lines, 4 years ago, and those lines have just been solidified.
Yeah, the lines are still there, only larger lines than they were, 4 years ago. But I don't know. I was a little surprised. I thought, after Jim Root had fought so hard to get in there, that he probably no one would run against him this time. But that's what it's about. It's about people stepping up, and it's not like someone from out in the blue somewhere you know nothing about. This is someone where you used to see him at a gathering of police officers or something at the police station. He'd stand out. You would see him, and he was someone that was likable, or someone you could get acquainted with. And so, I think it'll be a good race.
I didn't know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have, guessed Cody would be doing this. But when he decided to do this, I thought, this guy's got a background that's, the resume speaks for itself.
Yeah, I didn't really, until I received the announcements, I didn't know a lot about that background. But because I was surprised, it kind of came out of the blue. And then I started reading his qualifications and his background and his education and that. I thought
that's enough for me. He was Todd Walker's guy, and I to me, Todd was the gold standard for police chiefs in this community. And so, it was good enough for Todd, good enough for me.
Yeah, and I think Todd had that knack too, and I think you'd agree with me that always open.
And he hated going on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean that like in a mean way. It's just that just wasn't his personality at all. But he knew it was part of the job.
Well, there were times that I remember I'd be on with you. I'd walk out the front door just to walk back to the office, and Tom would be there and say, "Let me give you a ride." So he wanted to talk to me about something. So he'd drive me, drive me on down. But that's the kind of sheriff, the kind of leader that you really enjoy, because it's something important to him that he feels is important to the community. He'll give you a ride down to your office or whatever to tell you about it.
Yeah. And right now, more than ever, and I get why a lot of people in law enforcement aren't thrilled with the media, and I get why they feel the way they do in a lot of areas, but retreating isn't going to help that at all.
No, and I think now more than ever, you need people, whether it's the mayor or a police chief, a sheriff, our community leaders, those we look up to. I think now, we depend on them, and we depend on the characteristic and the attributes they have to lead us in a positive frame of mind.
It's a big deal. It's a big part of the job.
Yeah, and I think especially so now. It's just like... we're not coasting now.
Nope.
We're dealing with major, major issues right
now. Well, this will be a race. It'll be interesting to see if there's anybody on the Democrat side, because of who knows. But that Republican primary is, at least at this point, looks very interesting to me.
Yeah, so it's something we can look forward to. Yeah, and
good to have choices. Nothing wrong with that. We're so used to not having choices anymore.
Yeah, I want choices.
Yeah, you know what your choice is today? It's like the lesser of two evils just about every time you vote for anything.
Yeah, and I think that's what's important here. I mean, you're talking about in this primary election that's going to be coming up, two highly qualified individuals. And so you do have choices, and you're not choosing the lesser of two evils in this case. And in fact, it even gets to the point where you can't even choose a lesser of two evils in national politics. There's just no one to pick. But I think we're fortunate that way in the sheriff's race and in some of the other races I think that will be coming up. We have people that are there for the right reason, running for the right reason, and they're highly qualified.
All right, we'll do a little COVID conversation when we get back here. Here's an alert in case you haven't talked to your own personal physician. Nebulizing hydrogen peroxide is not a good idea. People won't get a vaccine that's been run through every litmus test you can possibly do, but they literally, the doctors are now having to warn people about hydrogen peroxide COVID misinformation being shared. You won't trust the FDA, but Ned on Facebook can convince you to nebulize hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Will that ever make any sense to you?
No. And I will say, and I think you agree with me, you know, in the last year and a half, there's been a lot of things happen that just don't make sense to me. They really don't. I think, why would someone go this route? Why would someone take on something even more dangerous than what they're claiming they're trying to avoid.
It doesn't make any sense. We'll do that and get the local COVID numbers and a little conversation about newspapers in Decatur, because there's a front page story in the Tribune about that very thing. Here's Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny and windy with a high near 70, and tonight clear with a low around 47. For Friday, sunny with a high near 80 and a slight chance of nighttime rain. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 74. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is still at 46 degrees. And your WSOI time is 7:23.
Run with Sloan's on a John Deere Z740R Series Z-Track mower, built for taking it easy. That's right, because we're all for keeping it simple. Get 0% for 36 months on the Z740R with a 54-inch deck starting at $223.58 per month. 0% for 36 months only. Some restrictions apply. See Sloan Implement for details. Offer ends 10/29/21. Visit Sloan Implement today, celebrating 90 years and going strong.
Power up with Sloan's.
Puff Lumber and Home Specialties. Who says you can't have it all?
Beautify your home with new doors and windows from Marvin. Get style along with functionality from Ultimate Clad Casement Windows that turn inside out for easy cleaning. Custom sizes are available for almost any door or window in your home, with many colors to choose from.
Puff Lumber and Home Specialties. Who says you can't have it all?
Millikan University invites high school and transfer students to a campus visit day on Monday, October 11th. Come see for yourself what a Millikan education is all about. Attend a campus visit day to learn about admission criteria and important deadlines, academic programs, financial aid and scholarships, and see how you can get involved in athletics, Greek life, and student organizations. Experience the Millikan difference on Monday, October 11th at a campus visit day. Register at millikan.edu/visit.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Macon County Health Department, last update, Tuesday, September 21st, 68 new cases, 20 hospitalizations, and a female in her 50s passed away since we last gave you these numbers. Female in her 50s, you know, we've had that sort of phrase, male in his 40s, female in her 80s. So anonymous. You know, it's one of the things that I think has been hard to get people to feel if it's not a member of their own family or close associate, because so many people are not putting in an obituaries. And I understand that they don't want the fighting on top of the grief, and I get all that. This has been the most anonymous number of deaths in my lifetime, where it's just we surpassed this week the number of deaths for the Spanish flu. When we had no solution,
yeah,
no vaccines.
Yeah, I don't know. It's and you know, we've discussed this. It's just hard to understand, and it's just become so political. It's all tied into politics, and just like you will endanger your children's lives, your friends' lives, your family's lives to take a stand.
Yeah,
on something.
And not only do you not care, you're proud of not caring.
Yeah, you're a patriot, you know, for doing that, and I don't understand it, and I. You know, as you know, and you've known me for many years, you know, I am, and I've mentioned this, I'm pretty conservative in my views and certainly in my politics and, you know, pretty much a fundamentalist Christian, too, in what I believe. But I believe if you're going to pray to God for an answer, you know, and God, in my point, a reference here is you have a vaccine. How about the tools that you're provided? You pray for help in this pandemic, and you're provided a vaccine in record time. Well, it's a suspicious. We do everything in record time now. I mean, what? You know, are we supposed to develop a vaccine the same way we did 50, 70 years ago? We don't in any other form of medical science. We don't. And I trust the science. I trust the medical community. You know, I don't trust John Jones sitting in his basement somewhere giving me medical advice and saying, you don't know what's in this stuff. Many thousands of people have died as a result of it. Well, where's your proof? And then we don't hear from him anymore. It just, I don't understand it. And as a editor and as a citizen, as a parent, you know, I look at this and say, okay, you want to take a stand? Well, then at least cover your face up.
I've watched, I don't know how many countless videos. It's almost, I can't watch them anymore just because of the disappointment in human behavior. But in airplanes, at school board meetings, this outrage that people have, this outrage, this self-glorified justification that you're in some Mel Gibson movie, fighting off the redcoats because you want to put kids in danger.
Yeah.
Did you watch this DeVore? This guy, he wants to be an appellate judge, by the way. He's the one taking all these cases this last, you know, couple of years, this Darren Bailey guy. Go watch his Facebook video and tell me this man isn't unhinged. And tell me he's fit to be a judge.
Yeah.
It's childlike.
Well,
tantrums.
Yeah, I can only speak not only as a private citizen, as a businessman, as a publisher, you know, certainly have sources and resources beyond what the average person has and have had, and communication with mayors of other communities and that because of my time here and the friendships made over the years. If anyone would be aware, I think, of a conspiracy, I mean, there are even conservative columnists that write for me. If anyone would be aware of a conspiracy, you know, I think I would be on that list, you know, and I just don't see it. I see a lot of misleading statements made. I see a lot of things I have to shake my head at, which some of the people making this are people that I would have agreed with on about every other thing before all this happened. And it makes me question then, you know, how much of what else that they fell for.
I know.
Do you feel that way?
To this, yes, I do. I've never been more disappointed in people than in the last 2 years. This female who died yesterday in her 50s, you know, tell her family, her kids, her grandkids, her loved ones, her friends, her associates, that that's most people are okay. It's just the flu. Yeah. You know, I don't know why there hasn't been even an inkling of compassion. And I've read story after story of loved ones who have been public about it, then having to sit and argue with strangers on Facebook that their loved family member didn't really die of COVID. Who does that to a grieving family?
I don't know. I think it's done in the present environment, and the people that do it don't even have second thoughts about it.
Yeah,
and,
but that's a they problem.
Yeah.
That's not – that is – we can't continue to be like that as human beings.
Well, and I've always believed we're better than that. You know, I really do, and I still do. I've been surprised at the number of people – that are upset, and being upset is one thing about what's happening, but then following false and providing false information and then putting down people that have suffered as a result.
Just Google Vandalia school board meeting and watch this woman, and it will give you all of the answers to what is wrong with all of us. Paul, we appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.